circuits.
The ring system.
Yes, that was invented by a black woman. I'm going to just read a little bit of history and follow behind you, Dr. Tisdale, on a little more history on her. Did you know that the first home security, it says, was invented by a black nurse? She was a nurse, y'all. Okay, listen up. And they say her name, although she was a full-time nurse, she recognized the security threats to her home. And I believe William brought that out in one of our old segments, how she invented, because to protect her home. I believe this is the same one. Her home, she devised a system that would alert her of strangers at her door and contact relevant authorities as quickly as possible. So these inventions, folks, that you put in your homes, like what is that, the ADT inventions and things like that, that will, that is linked to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Our sister did that, y'all.
Right.
Which is awesome. Now I have Otis Boykin. Anybody mention Mr. Boykin?
I heard no one mention him, but I heard the name.
Okay, well let me mention Mr. Boykin. He was born in 1920. And he died in 1982. He was an inventor. He was the major development of the IBM computers and pacemakers, folks. Okay? Mr. Boykin. Mr. Boykin, most notable contribution to science was likely the circuit improvement he made to pacemakers after losing his mother to heart failure. Okay? Mm-hmm. A contribution that has saved countless lives since. But this single improvement was among a long list of achievements. Boykin had 26 patents in his name, and his fame was the development of IBM computers, folks. Listen up. Burglar-proof cash registers, okay? Chemical air filters and electronic resistors used in controlled missiles and other devices. This man invented these things, and you don't hear this mentioned at all. So I would write down these names or either go to the books that, and there's a couple more books that I've discovered. I'm into books, y'all. I'm really into books. And so when I just did a research on all the books that we have written, go to Amazon, just type in there black inventors, and it will bring you a plethora of books, and it will give you names of people. I'm glad these authors put these books together, put our authors together, you know, and cohesive in these books, so you don't have to go everywhere, and you can find the people who have invented the things that we are enjoying today. And I really appreciate them. Again, I applaud them. I know there are not many of them not here to hear the applause, but I'm going to continue to recognize them. All right. Anybody else have anything else? Dr. Demery?
There's another one. I think his name is Louis T. Boyd.
Okay.
I may have his name wrong, but I think it's Louis T. Boyd. He's the one. And when you go to the doctor, one of the first things they want to do is draw your blood.
Right.
He wanted invented blood plasma, and he died in the South. I can't remember which state it was in because they wouldn't allow a black man to go into the hospital. He died from his own invention, but he invented blood plasma that distinguishes, you know, RNA from DNA and establishes the fact that we have different types of blood. He's the one that invented that. If it hadn't been, many, many people would be dying if you were O positive, O negative, Rh or Rt negative. If you didn't have a distinction between the blood types and the blood plasma, which is how when you go to the Red Cross or whatever to draw your blood, they want plasma. They need the plasma because that's where the blood is.
Right.
And he's the one that invented it.
Amazing. Well, Dr. Demery, isn't he the one that also, wouldn't he be the one put in that same category where he did visit the blood bank? Remember, they have to house the blood for the various ones who need it. Didn't he invent the blood bank where they house the blood?
Sure. I don't want to say wrong. I'm not sure, but I know he died because he was not allowed to go into a hospital who used his invention, and he was not allowed to go into this hospital because he was black, and he ended up dying.
You know what? And that, I don't want to go on a tyrant or a tangent, okay? But that kind of saddens me because we invented these things, and I heard, I'm going to say Dr. Tisdale, okay? I'll put you there with us, okay, with the rest of us. I heard you say how I think a couple of the vendors, especially our artists in the movie world and the theatrical world, had to go through the back doors, yet they drew the crowd. Come on now. And our predecessors made millions of dollars off of our artists, our craft. I'll use that, our craft. And so it's amazing how, and I think about it, and I know I'm probably jumping off the mark for a minute, just like when we talk about, and I know we talk about critical race theory, and I know we've been talking about that for about two or three weeks now. But when I thought about it, I was just kind of sitting home and I was kind of looking at this history. I was thinking about it. I says, you know, they had where we had to go through the back door. We had to drink from certain faucets. And I thought, what an oxymoron. Hmm. When you have mothers who were enslaved, who had mothers who nursed the baby on one breast, her baby on one breast, and the white baby on the other breast.
True.
And she was made to... that she better not nurse her baby on the same breast as the white baby's breast, but yet we could not drink in their fountains. Yeah. What an oxymoron. What an oxymoron. If people would think about it, you know. Dr. Dimmer, you have something to say? I know you leaned in.
I know we've zeroed in on a lot of scientific research and whatnot, but the other thing, it's more along line of Danny's bailiwick, along his line, his wheelhouse. That is music. Mm. I mean, it goes without saying how much African Americans have influenced American music.
True.
Back to slavery, the field holler, which came from a lot of what Black preachers use today, is the field holler, and how the field holler developed into a way of communication to talk about, I'm going to steal away to Jesus. When they said, I'm stealing away to Jesus, that means they were getting ready to run that night. They were getting ready to steal away and run that night and go catch up with Harriet Tubman and others.
That's right.
And when you listen to a lot of Black artists now, they even care. They listen to some of Danny's music, and I'm sure he's aware of it, and he probably catches himself doing it sometimes. They'll take the 16th note and bend it a little bit. That's where that came from. It came from the field holler, and you listen to Black preachers, they even do it. They can't take that note.
Put a wing on
it. That's right. That's right.
What they're doing is they're tuning. They're getting, they're listening to the voice because they didn't have speakers and they didn't have microphones back then, so they put their ear to catch the tune so they can hear themselves.
That's right.
And
they were able to stay in tune and stay in pitch, because pitch is so important. Danny can tell you more about this than me, but pitch and tone is so important in music. And if you don't have good pitch and if you don't have good tone, you can't really sing.
That's right.
You know,
why a lot of the white singers, Elvis Presley, said that he learned to sing from listening to the Black folks.
That's right.
Dick Jagger will tell you that much of his music came from listening to people like Jimi Hendrix and other people. So they stole our music and we never got credit for it. And much of rock and roll, much of music today in the United States, even country western music, is taken from blues and taken from that African field holler toning, we would call it.
That's exactly right. Hey, you know, I'm back here for a second. Dr. Sims, you're doing a great job, and the rest of the panel, you know, I had to take care of some station business, and often I leave the station or go out and check an external speaker just so I can hear what the audience is hearing. And you guys are good. I started to just stay out there. I said, they don't need me. But you're exactly right. And Dr. Dimmer, speaking of the field hollers, and we did a show on that too. It was the field hollers and the corn ditties. And that's how they used to communicate back in the day, and the master didn't even know what was going on. He had no idea what was happening. So, and speaking of Elvis Presley, we do a show every Monday night, Danny, and it's called, what is it called, Dr. Sims?
What is Sunday night?
No, Monday night. No.
Oh, you do the oldie but goodie. It's oh Lord.
Oh Lord. See, I forgot my own show here. No, oh, it's Monday Night Madness. Madness, you know, and that's with Professor Elroy Boyd III. And Danny, when we doing that show, not only do we play music, but we give you the life, the legacy, the history, the background, where these people came from. And we think that is so important to music, to know where it came from, you know, and what were these people doing? How were these songs, how did they come about these songs? And, I heard you say, Dr. Demmer, I believe, about Elvis Presley. Now, I don't know whether the panel know. You guys know anything about Big Mama Thornton?
Was it Big Mama Thornton? Didn't he hang with Big Mama Thornton along?
She came up during the 30s. During the 30s, but he copied some of her music. Hound Dog? That was Big Mama Thornton.
Yeah, but didn't he hang with the family for a minute? Because they had a documentary on Elvis Presley. And he hung around a black family.
I don't know whether it was hers or not, but we're going to do more research on that. But you take songs like The Hound Dog, Lloyd Price, Lord and Miss Claudie, okay? Chuck Berry, Memphis, Tennessee, Laverne Baker, Tweedledee, okay, yeah. Junior Parker, Mystery Train, Arthur Gunter, Baby, Let's Play House. Come on now. Roy Brown, Good Rockin' Tonight, Smiley Lewis, One Night of Sin. Okay. Arthur, Big Boy, Crudup, So Glad You Are Mine. Ray Charles, What I Say. Okay. Oh, come on now. Fats Domino, Ain't That a Shame. Big Joe Turner, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Come on now. Roy Hamilton.
Elvis Presley sung all of those songs from our other artists?
They influenced him. Sure did. Okay, Roy Hamilton, Unchained Melody. All right, you remember that? Okay. But not only that, you take the Beatles. They were influenced by Little Richard.
That's exactly right.
They were influenced by Little Richard. Come on, man. So our music has been appropriated. Our history has been appropriated. And we mentioned earlier, Dr. Sims on his show, is that, and you brought it up too. How many of, because at one time Danny mentioned that it was illegal for black people to own a patent. So how many inventions, did they get credit for or took credit for because black people weren't able to have inventions? Thomas Edison was a thief. Oh, you think about this. No, you think about this. The light bulb. How many light bulbs, if we still went along with what he invented?
With his invention, we would be blind.
You have to be buying light bulbs every day.
You know it. All day.
Every day you would have to be buying light bulbs. Right. But see, and who was this earlier, Danny and Dr. Dim, we were talking about how he was trying to steal, whose patent was he trying to steal, and he lost every time?
Thomas Edison was trying to steal Granville.
That's right.
Would not sign on with him. He offered him a job. He turned it down.
Yeah, he turned it down. I turned it down too. Didn't need him. Edison needed him. He didn't need Edison. He did not need Edison. Now, it's one important point I want the audience to really pay close attention to. And then I want to let you go back, Dr. Sims. You're doing a great job moderating here. Okay. Think about this. If these things were taught in school, going to school, I didn't know about Mr. Lattimore, but I knew about Thomas Edison. Okay. How many children, our young, brilliant scholars, would be inspired if they heard what we're talking about today? Think about this. Now, when I say young children, we're talking about children of all races, creeds, and colors, right? That will be inspired by this. So, you know, in many ways, you know, racism hurts everyone.
It does.
And he even hurt their own.
Indeed.
Okay. Think about what I'm saying. If true history was really taught, I think whether it came from black man, whether it came from Chinese or white or whatever it is, all children would be inspired.
Wow.
But to deny that, you know, you're really cutting your nose off in spite of what? Okay? In spite of what? You're ready to ruin. I mean, think about the things that's happening right now. And we're going to get back to this history lesson here. Our very own politicians, they do things, especially Republicans, they do things that hurt society. Look at the climate change over the last several years. California is always on fire. Always on fire.
On fire. My God, the heat is terrible.
The heat is terrible.
It's awful.
Look at the water supply diminishing. Yeah. And then you can go up, Dr. Dimmer, I know you've been around the world. You've been up to Alaska too. You've been to Alaska, haven't you?
Right. Land of the midnight sun.
Land of the midnight sun. That's right. At midnight, you got sunshine.
Sunrise. I think it was about a week ago.
Yeah, and look at and then you go up to the Arctic, Antarctica, and the Arctics, right, where the ice caps are melting. Okay, and at the rate that it's doing right now, oh my goodness, the ocean's going to rise, and it could be you headed for a disaster, right? Now I'm looking at where I'm at.
Be underwater.
I'm looking at where I am right now, and I don't complain about the rain anymore. Well, I couldn't complain when I was in California because we didn't get any.
Oh, come on, that part.
We didn't get it, and out here it rains every other day. I promise you, it does, and so I don't mind it because we have to have rain. The animals, the trees, the human, we have to have rain. And I am saddened because I saw something about Colorado and Nevada. They're fighting over a water supply right now. And it was a 100-year-old agreement, you know, about them sharing the water source. But it's in a big fight right now. This is absolutely crazy. And the politicians, they don't want to pass it. They have passed some things recently, you know, that I think is going to make an improvement. They just passed. I think it has to go through the Senate. All right, come on, Mitch McConnell, stop playing. Ted Cruz, all you clowns over there, stop playing. They have done some things right now to improve. I think it was a $365 billion thing to improve, to address global warming. Now, if you think about it, folks, President Obama addressed it when he was in office.
He did.
He addressed it when he was in office. It was absolutely nuts. So anyway, a lot of things happening, a lot of appropriations has been going on, but I'm gonna toss it back over to you, Dr. Sims.
Thank you, William. Listen, and we're talking about all of our inventors and them not getting credit, and I'm getting more of the update engineers, and I'm going into the aerospace engineering. Anyone heard of Lonnie G. Johnson? Anyone heard of him?
I don't think so.
He was an aerospace engineer. He was born in 1949, and he is still presently living. He was a major developer of Super Soaker Johnson Ferroelectric Energy Converters. And I'm going to read just a little insert on him. It says, did you ever enjoy water gun fights as a kid? Well, Lonnie Johnson, the man that gave us the most famous water gun.
Is it Super Soaker?
Yes. Super Soaker. Lonnie wasn't a toy maker. He was actually an aerospace engineer for NASA, with a resume boasting a stint with the U.S. Air Force. He worked on the Galileo Jupiter probe and Mars Observer Project and more than 40 patents. And he says, as he is also working on the Johnson Thermoelectric Energy Converter, the JTEC, which converts heat directly into electricity. But it is the squirt gun he created that was given to us all as a toy. So when your kids is playing with that Super Soaker, Mr. Johnson, Lonnie did that, okay? But he is actually aerospace engineer. So his inventions is far above that squirt gun, okay? So he is able to convert heat into electricity.
That is amazing.
It is. Very much so. Yes.
He's also a nuclear engineer.
Okay.
A mechanical engineer also.
Great.
Right. And who was that sister that was very much, I think she had something to do with satellites with NASA?
Oh, you're talking about the three ladies?
There was one in particular, but please continue.
No, no, you're talking about the three that we mentioned earlier who worked for NASA?
No, I was talking about one individual. She was had to do something with satellites and the communication. I think
about color ID and fiber optics.
Yes,
her name was Dr. Shirley Jackson.
That's her.
Yes, and she's still living, and she still is still inventing. So she did the fiber optics, the portable faxes, William. Just like in our PCs today, we don't have to connect our fax now. I could do something on my PC, and it faxes it right over to where I need to send it
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like a Bluetooth-type mechanism now
that's amazing.
Being used, and it was developed by this woman.
Absolutely.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. You know, what else is amazing that going back 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years or so, uh-huh. These people did not have formal educations. They were self-taught. Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about this earlier, Danny and Reverend Demery, Dr. Demery, and they said, black people aren't intelligent. That's a high level of intelligence. Self-taught.
If I could just piggyback on something you said earlier, you said, what would it be like had all the supremacy mindsets were satisfied and we were operating in love, we would see everybody would be the better for it, just like you were saying, because when we do it that way, everybody gains.
That's
you
right.
know, the knowledge is shared, and we progress to a better state of being. But and these ingrained mindsets that are operating today, operating from an old book.
That's exactly right. You know, a lot of problems you would solve. Danny, you can, I'm sorry, I cut you off, sir.
No.
Okay. But you think a lot of problems will be solved, a lot of problems that we're having today. Guess what? It will be a whole lot less poverty. I think you could probably be, you can address the homeless problem. Okay. Medical issues. Oh my God. It is absolutely incredible. You know, and see, the thing about it, if you really, really look at it, all, like you said, Danny, all of society would be better for it.
That's true.
And see, that's where selfishness and greed, those are really bad words. You know, people look at greed and they don't realize how dangerous greed really is. Greed. And so you're choking your own lifeblood. All right. If you would only appreciate instead of appropriate, it would be a whole different world. Everybody could eat. And yet you have the people who have more than they will ever need still grabbing from people who need it. And this is a doggone shame. You take up over here in West Virginia, for instance, which is the state next door. Okay. That's not it's an impoverished state, just like Kentucky. All right. And you have to look at who's in charge, who makes the laws. It is absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? And then the thing about it, when you share with people, say, man, look, everybody can eat. They're not interested in that. Uh-uh. All right. Because you got the power brokers that I honestly believe this. They believe, this is my feeling, in population reduction. All right. Get rid of the poor, the downtrodden, right? Get rid of them. All right. Just keep enough people to work our fields for us. All right. So that's why they say, well, you know, deaths are up and stuff like that. Oh my goodness. I feel so bad. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you did, you would do something about it. Dr. Simpson.
Wow. I want to go reflect back on what Dr. Demery said about, you know, the humming to see if they're in tune. I do know now that most of your artists has this piece that they put in their ear. It looks like a hearing aid, but what it does, it blocks the sound. Cause if I put my finger in my ear, I can literally hear the tune of my voice. Yeah. So this is what they use now. I'm going to reflect back on one of our listeners. And one of the things that I am observing, and Carolyn, you're right on it. When the dance today, if you notice the dance today, it is the African culture dance. Carolyn said there are more and more students researching the African culture. The interest is their dads, drum beats, the ability to run at high speeds, to name a few, and more currently, Black African Americans, a big success in sports. And she is right. I tell people, and people need to listen to this, we have been studied for years, mm-hmm. for years. And I have my daughter laughing, William, they'll sit in your church and all the spirit of the Lord is really high and they're sitting like robots. They're studying you. They study what you eat. They're studying what makes you thrive. They study what makes you resilient. And like I said, we're not trying to make ourselves to be some super, but anything that anybody's afraid of, they're going to study and they're going to find out why you are successful. Why are you resilient? Why do you thrive? Why do you love? And so I'm going to make y'all laugh. They just about taking everything that we eat, the ham hocks and, you know, the pig feet and the oxtails and stuff like that. They tell us that it's wrong for us to eat, but I'm finding it on their tables.
Yeah.
The beans and we got to eat the plant food. Come on now.
Right.
And our folk are getting working. Now I believe I'm not getting against Ann. Eating as an act of worship, you know, and I see a lot of vegans. I had somebody laughing. My daughter told me, I said, they must be frying the lettuce because a lot of these vegans is huge. I said, well, wait a minute. You eating vegan food, you must be frying the lettuce, y'all. Okay.
We're fed back.
And that tickled me so bad. But you're right, Carolyn. They are studied. If you notice, everybody, when the drum goes, even look at the babies, our babies, they get to moving. Because the drums, and even in our drums, in our African culture, Daddy, who was that? I think with Dr. Demery, there's something in the song. You know, they sing a song, they were given a code through the songs. Our drums were given codes. Indians did the same thing, okay? Right. They gave codes, even their smoke signals gave a message, okay?
Right. Absolutely.
To me, you didn't have to go to school for that. Come on here, that's just...
That's right.
Giving us that in our spirit, and I am so amazed. Dr. Demmer, you were talking about the blood plasma and defining the blood and separating. I don't know if you said it was Charles Drew. I know you said Boyd, but Charles Drew, and I was equating to, he was the major development of the blood bank, okay? And Drew, that he said that Drew was a physician, he was a surgeon, he was a medical researcher who worked within a team of Red Cross and groundbreaking discoveries around blood transfusions. I know the other one drew blood and was able to separate the plasma and have what have you. And that's why I thought, I said the blood bank was by Drew. And in World War II, he played a major role in developing the first large-scale blood bank and blood plasma program. I don't know if they work cohesively together or not. He also invented... And get ready, because his name is pretty charming, blood mobiles. And they are refrigerated trucks that to this day safely transport stored blood to the location where it is needed. Drew was one of the most prominent doctors working in the field and one of the only African Americans during a time when blood donation was still separated along lines of race. Listen, they could take our blood, but they separated us from it. How about that? During a time when blood donation was still separated along the lines of race, Drew eventually resigned from his position with the American Red Cross over their insistence of adhering to this policy. It was 1950 before the Red Cross finally recognized all blood was being equal. Come on here. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's the whole reason why, I mean, I was saying this before. There's no such thing as race. Anthropologists who thought the whole understanding of race theory and all that stuff up. There are black people I can't take blood from.
Me either.
I'm a universal donor. I'm O positive.
Right.
There are people I cannot take blood from. And if that's the case, there's no such thing as race.
Right.
We're all race. We're all part of the human race.
Right.
We all have the same genome. And when you look and break it down to the cellular structure, the mitochondria, where the cell brain is, that's where we're all the same. We're not different. Yeah, we may have a little different skin color. We may have different texture hair, but we're human beings.
Right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
were part of the human race. And whoa, created us. And separated and all that stuff. God says, whoa, I'm coming back again. I'm going to let y'all know what's going on. Got it wrong. Y'all lied to each other.
Come on.
You're gotta learn how to love one another and get along.
Indeed. Wow. I thought he was gonna preach there for a minute.
Yeah, me too.
Hello, I would have gone up with you. There you go. But you know what? Dr. Dimmer, you're so right. People have to reflect too back on the word of God. There was only one family spared. God was not creating human beings out of his word like he did in the Garden of Eden. Come on now. But one family was spared. So guess what? They had to marry, intermarry, move from continent to different continents. And they say the reason why the differences in the color of our skin, some went to the hotter climates, it affected the pigments of our skin and so on. But they don't want to tell you that. They don't want to tell you that. Okay. And there is no pure race. Listen, folks, let me school some of y'all that's listening. There was a woman who had twins. One, she was white. Her husband was white. But I always say eventually it always comes out in the wash. Okay. One of the twins were black and one of the twins were white. It's been more than one time that this has happened. The father started to divorce his wife because he felt that she had a affair with an Afro-American man. What happened? DNA don't lie, y'all. Okay. They did the DNA. They said, Mr. So-and-so, those are both your babies. Okay. So it's evidently somewhere down your bloodline, because it's in the bloodline, y'all. Okay. It's in the bloodline that you have African American. And if people would do their DNA history, you're going to find out that in your bloodline, it's not as pure as you want to scream and holler.
That's right.
KKK. One of them was screaming. I'll say this one last thing. One KKK was hollering and screaming racism and just jaw jacking and wanted to kill the blacks. And he happened to do his DNA analysis. Find out this same one that was screaming, hooping and hollering had a third African American in him. Okay. It shut his mouth. Okay. And most of them are embarrassed. They won't tell anybody that they got this in them. But it's real talk, because there's some kind of feature going to let me know, sister girl, there's something in her tail here, because if her nose is wide, something's going on, okay? If her hair are curly, if she got thick hips, and I say, something's wrong with the pot, okay? It's not all just one thing up in there, okay? And that's how... that's how I look at it. Dr. Dimmer, you are so right. There is no pure race. I don't care how high they hold their heads or how low. There is no pure race. And the only thing is pure is God, and we trying to get there. Hello, y'all. Okay. Now I got Marion Crook. Have y'all heard of her? Marion Crook? Anybody?
I'm not sure. Please.
Okay, Marion Crook. She developed, and I'm going to break it down, the VOIP. And let me read just a little bit about her. In 2013, Marion Crook was inducted into Women in Theology International's Hall of Fame, a move that recognized her remarkable achievements in technology. Crook holds over 135 patents, primarily in voice over internet protocol. Wow. Now you see this in your phones. A sister developed that, y'all. Come on now.
All right now.
Some in other areas. She has another 100 patents currently under review. Today, Marion is an SVP at AT&T. Okay? Serve as a mentor for women and AT&T Labs, and sits on the board of the Holocaust and Genocide and Human Rights Education Center. That's our sister, y'all.
Amen.
Okay. All right.
That's incredible stuff. If you think about it, if you really, really think about it, so many inventions, and we are not going to get through all of these today, so you guys know it's going to be a part two next week, right? It's going to be a part two. We have to. Dr. Demery, Dr. Sims, and Danny, Brother Danny, Dr. Tisdale. Okay. We talk about things that people don't want to talk about.
Indeed.
because many of us going to school, I didn't know most of this stuff and hardly any of it until I got out of school.
That part.
You know, and I had to study on my own, you know, and so it's vitally important because when I'm hearing these things, I get inspired. And I know I'm being redundant, but if I'm getting inspired, you know, imagine our young brains that are able, you know, our children, not only they are resilient, but they also, that brain is like a sponge and they're coming up with things. And each and every day, if you look at little young black inventors or children that invent things right now, children are coming with some remarkable ideas. The brain has the capacity to do so. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have these advances that we have right now.
But and William, we have to teach please, our children. I'm sorry. We have to teach our children to exercise our brains. If we got parents that are sitting at home and doing absolutely nothing, how do you think your children are going to thrive? They're only going to get as much education as the society that dictates how much level of education, because we have some sick brothers and sisters out there, I'll just say all walks of life, that prohibits one or the other from getting the education because they feel like, remember back in the slavery days, they didn't want us to learn to read, remember? And because we know that knowledge is power. And you said something, William, that, and I'm really into this. When we don't nourish our children, we have children and some adolescents who are quite inventors, but because of what we've been fed down through the years, made us feel like it's not acceptable by other predators, I say this, that what we do is insignificant, but yet they will take that very thing right from out of your lap and make money out of it, that very insignificant thing. And so we have to put the problem where it lays. I'm going to encourage everybody, hey, listen, you have a thought in your mind, I don't care how stupid it is, put it down on the table, because you may save somebody's life. You may change history. You might do something. And so it's important that we speak positive into our children, not only just in our children, as old as we are. I need to get up in the morning and tell my baby, you somebody. Yes, I do. I need to get in the mirror and tell me I'm worth being here today because God said so. And so guess what? Am I going to sit there? And now, it's a shame to say, but I've allowed people, and many of us have, to stifle our gifts. I'm in my 70s and being as creative as if I'm 19 years old. You understand me? You know why? Because people say, well, when you're 70 years old, you should be tired and sitting by the wayside. No, that's your theory. That's not mine.
That's okay? Right.
This is a new day, baby. And some of us who are older up in age, God is allowing us to be so sharp in our minds. But it's how we use it. It's how we use it. Now, I told William the other day, as I was talking, I'm an educator, okay? My dad was an educator. I love seeing people invent. I love seeing people be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Does that slight me? No. We got to stop fighting against each other, William.
Absolutely.
William, can I read about this woman?
Please, continue. Continue. You're doing a great job.
Lisa Globeter, and I don't know if I'm, she's the VP of BET. Now, listen up, y'all.
Uh-oh.
Major Development. Shockwave, genesis of animation on the web. This is today, y'all. Online video. If you've ever enjoyed animation, GIF, on the web, this is one of the amazing clips. And she's showing the kitten and moving them around. But anyway, we'll go ahead and read on. Globeter was intricately involved with the advent of shockwaves, a technology that forms the beginning of the web of animation. She also played a major role in the emergency of online video, later serving on the senior management team of Hulu, that TV show that you can see movies and things on. Previously, Lisa was the interim head of the digital for BET Networks and ran technology. She is the product of business operation. Today, you can catch Lisa at the White House, listen up now, in the United States Digital Services. She is currently serving as the Chief Digital Service Officer with the U.S. Department of Education. Come on here.
Come on. Come on. Come on. And you know, and you're exactly right. You know, wow. I'll give you an idea. I have a grandson. He's 22 years old. And I was, and Danny remember, because Danny, before Dr. Demery, Danny used to, and I just started, has just started the station. This is before we started the Boomerang. And Danny used to come out and visit often, and we sit down and he shares some ideas with me, and we talk about, tell him about where I'm going, the direction of the station, things of that nature. And he said, hey, William, you need to learn this stuff yourself, okay? Because one day you're not going to have these people here.
Yeah.
So fast forward a couple of years later. Well, actually, going on a year and a half, maybe two now, I was so despondent with my website. I was just upset with it. It was just a website. Didn't have a lot of content, didn't have a lot of anything, right? You just use it as a player. So I called to my son, because I went through web designer after web designer, and nobody could give me what I wanted.
Wow.
So I called to my son, and I said, Scott, I said, do you know anything about website? I said, I'm up to my neck here. I mean, I at my wit's end, because I hate this website. He said, no, Dad. He said, but call your grandson. Mm. I called my grandson. He said, no, Granddad, nope. I don't know anything about websites, but let me see what I can do. I'll get back to you. 1 week later, I had a website that I was proud of. My grandson went in and figured it out. He figured out how to do this. So the website you see right now, studiowbuzz.com, that is the product of what my grandson produced for me, Caven. Oh, he's a brilliant guy. That's why I moved him in downstairs.
That's a good thing.
It's a great thing. Right. And if I need something, he's right here. Hey, Granddad, what you need? Okay, bam. And he said, no, I don't know how to do it. I said, you'll figure it out. He does. I don't let him, you know. He said, I don't know how to do this. I said, figure it out. Okay. And he does. He got Alexa going for us. He was interested in getting our apps going. He schedules the programs. Just a brilliant, brilliant cat. You know, and so I'm just so proud of him. But the thing about it, our children, we need to encourage our children. And don't let them say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, figure it out. You can figure it out. I do not let anybody let them off the hook like that. Well, I don't know how. Okay, figure it out. You know, because you have the brain, you have the wisdom, you have the smart. And see, once we give them that go ahead and give them that encouragement and let them know, say, look, I know you can do this. They'll do it. You know, instead of letting now computers are great. All this technology is great as long as it's put in, as long as it's used properly.
Indeed.
You know, it's some great tools out here. Okay. Yeah. And instead of letting, parents out there, I'm talking to you right now. Don't let these machines teach your children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's your babysitter. That's your excuse. You go, okay, I'll give them a laptop, let them go in their room and close the door. You have no idea what they're looking at. All right. Have them looking at the right things. Because what comes and goes in that head is going to come out one way or another.
Indeed.
Okay. If you go in there and let them look at a whole lot of filth, pornography, or whatever they want to look at, whatever it is, guess what? You're going to have a problem. You are going to have a problem. What you put, Dr. Sims, you already know this because this is your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. What you put in that brain is going to manifest itself somehow. Am I right?
You're right. And William, I'm so glad that you said that because I think we talked about this before. We allow the TVs and the computers to become the children's babysitters, and they're raising our children.
That's right.
But I ventured and I did a research, and I looked at how I think it was a 7-month-old baby, because she educated, and I use this word, massaged his mind to be creative, to ID colors, to ID numbers, and things like that. And I tell people, mothers, you start when the baby's in the womb.
That's
okay?
It.
I read to my daughter, my children. I sung to my daughter. She's a singer today. She loves music. And I mean, I let them listen to music. And it was not the hip hop and all that stuff because I wanted, and you'll say, Dr. Sims, I don't take all that. Yes, it does. Because if you want your child to be better than what you were, okay, mm-hmm. If you want to give a better generation, then you would acknowledge those things or introduce them to those things, is the word I'm using, while they're in your stomach. I sung to them, talked to them, read scriptures because I was very heavy in the church and still am. But my thing is, and read stories that made some sense, okay? I was not always on the fictitious, and I'm not saying I'm the ultimate mom, because I have my issues too. But I think for us to make a better generation, we need to exercise the sleepy parts of our brains.
Come on.
Because when you get an awakening, and even in our age, folks, we have been programmed to just take the silence, to be silenced, not to exercise, because we've been made to feel less than. But when you start exercising and then ask God to help you in those areas, when you start asking God to help you, what is it I need to do? And William, you know, I love creativity, and you know the word that, you know, I use. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
And so the thing is, I'm a stickler on things because my dad raised me that way. He was a way where it had to be right. If he found one dirty spoon in the drawer, he threw the whole drawer out and you had to clean it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He was a military man. So he taught us structure when we came up. He taught us excellent. My dad could type 85 words a minute. Very brilliant man. Okay. And very articulate. All right. And so this is the way we talk. But what problem we have today is we have jealousy within our race that keeps us down. And it is a shame. It is a travesty. But I would recommend that each of you, anyone that's listening, ask God, let me exercise that part of my mind. Stop looking over here and seeing what this person is doing and getting envious.
Right.
There's some things in you that you can work out. And William, you said something about the computer. I have to piggyback on the Mr. Philip Eagleweil, okay? And he was born in 1951. He's a scientist. He developed the fastest computer, y'all. Listen up. A black man developed the fastest computer. And he was forced to drop out of school at the age of 14, William. Listen to this. But this didn't stop him from becoming one of the greatest computer pioneers of our time. All right? In fact, he's often called the Bill Gates of Africa. Hear me well. Okay. We thought Bill Gates had a patent. You better look at our brother. Okay. As an adult, Eagleweil began to study nature, specifically bees. The construction of the honeycomb inspired him to rethink computer processing. In 1989, he put this idea to work using 65,000 processes to invent the world's fastest, massively parallel processing supercomputer,
mm-hmm.
able to perform 3.1 billion calculations per second.
Good Lord.
That same year, Eagleweil received a Gordon Bell Prize for his application of the CM2 massively parallel computer. I'm giving him kudos. He is still living because these are men. And people want to say, well, they invented back in the day. We still got inventors today at this
today.
Present time that needs to be recognized, William.
That's
and
right.
That's what brought him out. And so I just encourage us, listen, ask God to wake up that sleepy mind, man. I'm telling you, there's some nights I can't go to sleep. And I only reflect about me because I don't know your story. I really don't. And I'm not bragging. It's just that my best time, and my children can tell you, is at night when everything is settled, okay? And I have to ask God, let me go to sleep because my mind is moving. Because of the times I did not allow it to move. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And let me share this with you, Dr. Sims. I remember when you started your show, Miss Cece's Kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And you said, William, I didn't get much sleep because I'm thinking about this show and how I want it done, how I'm going to create it, and this type of thing. And I believe you were with us. I think you had been with us maybe a short period of time. And we were talking about, music.
Yes.
And the sounds. And then we did this thing, this program. We did more than one show on it. And your little sister accused me of carrying a bone. If I think that there's a topic that is beneficial to our audience, I will cover it more than 1 week.
Right.
Because sometimes you need to have things not necessarily repeated, but a continuation to expand the knowledge. You said something earlier about children. And I thoroughly believe this, is that we need to nurture our children even when they're in the womb, okay? Yes. And I had a preacher that disagreed with me on that. You know, I got kicked off the deacon board when I wasn't even on there. I didn't even make it. And look, Danny, I never even made it past being a candidate.
interviewed. Okay.
I didn't make it that far, right? That I didn't care. They asked me. I didn't ask them in the first place. But that's a whole nother story. But the thing about it is, I agree. Before they can talk, and even before they come out, talk to them. And it's a proven fact. It is a scientific fact that if you let your children play music or sing at an early age, get them involved, it expands the mind. A foreign language, a different language, expands the mind. Dr. Dimmitt can talk about this. He knows five languages. You know, I'm barely getting through English here, but he has five. No, actually, in school, I had to take German and I took Spanish. I had to take German because I was a music major. I was an instrumental music major. I played trumpet, sousaphone, French horn, and baritone, right? And I didn't start singing until later. Like Danny was saying, somebody who mentioned something about humming. Dr. Dimmer, you mentioned something about humming, right? Yeah, you hum it. That's right. That is a technique that's used by singers right now, Danny. You know that. So you can hear yourself. Get that tone correctly. I mean, get that tonality down, right? So get your children involved in music. Let's hopefully they are. Okay. Get them out, involved in sports or some sort. Because right now, our children aren't getting enough exercise. They're stuck up in those rooms with the door closed, with that computer that's babysitting them, right? All right. That's why we have obese children right now. They chewing on hot Doritos and got the computer there. Hot Doritos and Gatorade, whatever they're drinking, you know. But you don't know what they're drinking because you're not there. They might have slipped into your cabinet, right?
Oh, Lord.
All right. Hey, you better watch out. Some of y'all walk around with drunk children.
Oh, my.
Hey, look, I'm serious. Okay. You got children that drink, parents? Oh, no. Okay. You better smell their breath every now and then. I'm telling you, boy, you better need to know what they're doing. I had a friend of mine. She was telling me a funny story about her daughter growing up. And her daughter would keep the door locked. And she said, do not lock your bedroom door. I need to know what's going on there. She kept locking it. So you know what her and the dad did? The mom, wife and the dad, they took the door completely off. She had no door. You get no privacy here. Okay, you keep the door open, and we need to know. We need to know what our children are doing because, see, that gray matter there is still developing.
Yes.
And what goes in there, you want to be careful. You wouldn't have your child to drink Drano, would you? You wouldn't give them poison, would you? Well, some parents, you know, you gotta watch some sick ones. But you would not give your children poison. Okay? You don't want them ingesting that. Well, let's think about the brain. That's important too. You need to pay attention, Dr. Demery, of what we're allowing our children to put in their brains. Right? Indeed. And find out who they're hanging out with. Child said, well, I'm gonna hang with so and so. Well, who is so and so? Oh, a friend from school. Oh, well, okay. Well, I'm gonna need to know where you guys going. I need to know their parents. All right. I need to know something about it. You just can't let them go willy nilly.
William, my kids came over when their friends came over. I had to be introduced to their friends. That's my dad did it to me.
Uh-huh.
And I had to be introduced to their friends. And they came over to the house. If they did not greet me right.
Uh-oh.
And I talked to you for a moment. And I guess I was counseling then, reading minds in. But after they left, I told my sons and basically I says, no longer. Okay, that one right there, no longer.
Right.
And because when you raise them right, they know that mama knows what's best, okay? And I'm not saying that they did it all the time. They may have went behind my back, however, but they did not follow suit. Had one of his friends being murdered because of drugs.
Ooh.
He distanced himself away from him because mama read something in this young man that, you know what, I just use what my dad and my mom trained me with, okay?
Right.
And I passed that on to my children. I wasn't perfect, folks, so don't get me wrong. Don't get mad and have a toothpick in your mouth saying stuff, okay? No, don't do that because some people do that because they equate your confidence as being cocky, and that's not it.
Right.
That's not it at all. You can be confident and stand on what you believe and not be cocky. Some folks, that's why they won't get out of the pot that they're in. because they look at you and make you think that you're somebody better than them. No, I tell folks, you're the one who put me in that category. But through trial and error, all of us have learned, y'all, okay? And so some learn slower than others. So we got to watch our kids and even our grandchildren. I'm looking at my children raise their children. When you raise them with certain values, they will project that on their children. Their children will project that on their children. And yes, they're going to make mistakes down the road, William, like you said. You know what? But you better watch out what they're doing. And like you said, you better look at who they're associating with.
That's exactly
right. And just
go,
you know, have a free day, and they're gone out your hair. No.
That's right. You know, one thing about it, Danny and Dr. Demery, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, Dr. Sims. I had some friends that used to call their parents by the first name.
Oh,
that was a no. Danny, did you call your parents by the first name?
Never.
Dr. Demery, I already know the answer.
I'd be picking myself up off the phone. I'd be picking myself up off of the floor.
And your teeth along with it.
Trying to find my dad. Come on.
No, my mom didn't play that.
You know, look, Danny knew your mom. I knew your mom. Hey, Dr. Sim.
What?
His mom, did she weigh 110, 15 pounds?
Maybe soaking wet.
But guess what? If she loves you, she loves you, right? But you didn't want to mess with that woman.
You
did not want to mess with her. As a matter of fact, she was going to mess somebody up at the church one day, and Dr. Demery had to take her out of there.
Not at the church.
Well, it wasn't during church service, but it was. She was part of the prison ministry, and one of the trustees, they weren't cordial. They weren't doing what they're supposed to do, and so Dr. Demery had to jump in between them two, right? And take her to the church. Then she told Dr. Demery, hey, Dad, she told Dr. Demery, I forgot something. I need to go back in there. She said, no, Mom. No, you're not going
wow.
back.
Wow.
But she, you know what? You could tell that she didn't play, but she would hug me. That was all I needed. It was okay with me. I was on her good side. So.
Okay. You probably would have whipped you, too. You
I know. Happened. Look.
Okay,
I was
just saying.
And look, I wasn't going to chance it. Hey guys, this has been a great show. We're out of time. I can't believe we're out of time already.
Wow.
Danny, thank you, my friend. Dr. Demery, pleasure as usual. And Dr. Sims, thank you so much for what you do and what you bring to the station. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna take a quick break and be back for Sunday Night Gold right here on Studio W The Buzz. Hey, enjoy your Sunday. I thoroughly enjoyed this broadcast. So you guys know what's coming next week, don't you? Part two. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Ann will be with us and Dr. Harris. I just spoke to her. She's taking care of her daughter as well. You know, she have a few challenges there. So, but she's just a sweetheart as well. So hopefully she'll be with us next week. All right. Hey, guys, enjoy.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. You guys have a great day. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the Boomerang Radio Show coming to you every Sunday, 6 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. on the West. Hey, have a great evening. See you.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Okay, let's do this.